Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. Hey, Golden Age fans, it's February 23rd, 2006, and this is the Golden Age of Comic Books. This is Bill Jourdain, your host, and we're very glad you're here this week. We're going to talk this week about the Golden Age Dr. Fate. I'm sure many of you have heard of Dr. Fate and have read his adventures in the Silver Age and Modern Age of Comics, but we're going to focus on the Golden Age Dr. Fate, how he got his start, and how he progressed throughout the Golden Age of comic books until he disappeared in the Golden Age of comic books in 1944. But before we talk about Dr. Fate, I wanted to mention a couple of articles that I've read recently that touch upon Golden Age of comic books creators and characters, and I thought you would find them enjoyable, so I wanted to recommend them to you. The first article appears in the February 2006 issue of Alter Ego magazine. That's issue number 56, and it is a never-before-published 1975 interview with Jerry, Joanne, and Laura Siegel. Of course, Siegel, along with Joe Shuster, was credited with creating Superman for Action Comics number 1. And it's interesting because it was never-before-published, this particular interview, and it contains additional insight and information about the Golden Age Superman and other efforts in the Golden Age of comics by Jerry Siegel. The interview was conducted by Murray Bischoff and Alan Light. We've talked about Alan Light in the past and some of his publications in reprinting Golden Age comics materials, but this interview is certainly worth reading, and I think you would enjoy it. I would also point out, as I have in the past, that the Alter Ego magazine published by Tomorrow's Publications and Roy Thomas is always a treasure trove of information to fans and collectors of Golden Age comic books. I would encourage you to pick up every issue. It's really enjoyable and gives you a lot of insight into the creators and the publishers and whatnot during the Golden Age of comic books. The other article I wanted to mention appears in issue number 1616 of the Comics Buyer's Guide. That's the May 2006 issue. And on page 86 of that issue, Michelle Nolan, who I've spoken about before, one of my favorite authors to read about Golden Age, esoteric Golden Age comic books, writes about a little girl named Tuffy Tiffle, who was a creation of Sid Hoff, one of the great artists for the New Yorker magazine, and the comic books in which she appeared that were published by Standard Comics during the Golden Age of comic books. I won't go into this two-page article in any great detail because, again, I would encourage you to pick up a copy of this magazine, Comics Buyer's Guide, and read it for yourself. But in the sidebar, Michelle writes about this little girl named Tuffy. She was the take-no-prisoners offspring of plump, middle-aged parents, distinctly working-class types who made Archie's parents seem like paragons of glamour. So if you're interested in reading about a Golden Age comic book character who was a little bit out of the mainstream, certainly not as popular or memorable as the Golden Age superheroes that we've talked about so many times in our podcast, check out Michelle Nolan's article in issue 1616, the May 2006 issue of Comics Buyer's Guide, and I think you'll enjoy learning about the Golden Age of comic books in a way that we don't generally discuss in some of the more esoteric and lesser-known characters. All right, well, let's transition now to the wonderful Dr. Fate, a creation of the great Gardner Fox, the writer, and the artist Howard Sherman during the Golden Age of comic books. Gardner Fox and Howard Sherman created Dr. Fate for his first appearance in More Fun Comics number 55. That was the May 1940 issue. And at that point in his career in More Fun 55, Dr. Fate did not have a secret identity, at least it was known at that time. He was simply a man of mystery who was skilled in all things related to the occult, and his magical powers were used by him to fight evil and to fight crime in the pages of More Fun Comics. Dr. Fate, in his initial appearance, wore a blue and yellow superhero suit with a cape and a gold helmet where you could not see any of the features of his face, and for the first year of his existence, he was simply a man of mystery, and his identity and where he lived as a human being as opposed to a superhero was really not that well known. It was known that His hideout, or his headquarters, if you will, was a tower in Salem, Massachusetts, where there were no windows or doors, and only Dr. Fate, with his powers of the occult, could enter and exit this tower in which he lived. And as in his first adventure, in More Fun Comics number 55, Dr. Fate faced one of his very first evil nemesis, who would go on to appear in many Dr. Fate stories in the Golden Age of comics, an evil magician named Wotan. And Wotan and Dr. Fate battled in that issue, and also on that issue was introduced a person who would ultimately become Dr. Fate's love interest. And her name was Inza Kramer. Now, as I mentioned, for the first year of his existence, Dr. Fate's identity was not known, and really not a lot was known about him other than his powers and where he would go, the tower that he went to in Salem. And that was really about it. He was certainly one of the powerful characters in terms of his powers of the occult in the DC Universe at that time. But finally, the fans of Dr. Fate, in May of 1941, in More Fun Comics number 67, learned the origin of Dr. Fate. And it was learned in that story that Dr. Fate was a man named Kent Nelson, who at a young age had been traveling with his father in the Valley of Ur in Mesopotamia. And while they were exploring the area, they came across a sarcophagus which was opened, and upon being opened, released an ancient wizard, an ancient being, who at the time of the opening of the sarcophagus also released a gas which killed Kent Nelson's father. It turned out that the occupant of the sarcophagus was a wizard, an ancient wizard, as I mentioned, named Nabu. And Nabu, feeling guilty over the death of Kent Nelson's father, took it upon himself to raise the boy, Kent Nelson, at that time. And he did, and Kent Nelson learned the occult and learned all of his powers over magical things from the ancient wizard, Nabu. And Nabu gave Kent Nelson the familiar Dr. Fate gold helmet and other items that he used to fight evil and ultimately to fight crime. And so we learn the origin of Dr. Fate as being Kent Nelson, and he progressed as a superhero at that time, and shortly thereafter made his very first appearance as a charter member of the JSA, the Justice Society of America, in the pages of All-Star Comics number 3. That was the winter 1940-41 issue. And as a founding member of the JSA, he participated in all of their adventures until he quit that team in 1944. Now, Dr. Fate changed a little bit in his origin. Of course, he was sort of an archaeologist, and as so many of the superheroes were during the early Golden Age of comics, he was a playboy who had a lot of wealth so that he could easily engage in his nocturnal activities and his other activities as a superhero. But in More Fun Comics number 85, the November 1942 issue, Kent Nelson got a medical degree. He became a doctor, and some of his adventures at that time were then changed to reflect his knowledge of medicine and his interactions with other physicians during his run in More Fun Comics. Another thing that changed for Dr. Fate was in issue number 72, actually a little before he got his medical degree. And in issue number 72, that was the October 1941 issue, Dr. Fate got a new helmet. And this new helmet was much different than his old in that you could now see half of Dr. Fate's face from his nose down, so that you could recognize facial expressions that he might have during his adventures. Now, Dr. Fate continued in the pages of More Fun Comics until issue number 98. That was the July-August 1944 issue and his last appearance in that title. Dr. Fate continued, of course, as I mentioned, in the pages of All-Star Comics as a member of the JSA. But at about the same time, in the summer of 1944, he ceased appearing as a member of that group and really disappeared into obscurity in the Golden Age of comics with All-Star Comics number 21. And that was the last Golden Age appearance of Dr. Fate, the summer 1944 issue. Now, Dr. Fate was popular enough that he did have some cover appearances, and his cover appearances for More Fun Comics began with his second appearance. That was issue number 56. He appeared in number 61, number 68, 69, 70, 71, 72. He was on the cover, and his new helmet made its first appearance on that cover, the one I mentioned just a few moments ago. He also appeared on the covers of 73, 74, 75, and 76. So 11 cover appearances in all by Dr. Fate on the pages of More Fun Comics. And he was ultimately replaced on the pages of More Fun, or on the covers of More Fun, I should say, by the Green Arrow and Speedy. Dr. Fate, of course, also appeared on the covers of All-Star Comics as a member of the JSA. He appeared on the first issue featuring a JSA number 3, 4, 6, 7, 8. His new helmet for All-Star Comics made its first appearance on the cover of number 8. And then 9, 10, 11, 12, not on 13, but then 14 through 20, he made cover appearances. And as I mentioned, his last appearance in the pages of All-Star was in number 21. As most of the Golden Age superheroes, Dr. Fate had some chief villains that he faced, some chief nemesis that he had to battle throughout the course of his run in the pages of More Fun. And I mentioned Wotan, the evil magician, who had made his first appearance in number 55, but there were others. For instance, Ian Karkul, More Fun number 69, made his first appearance and had several recurring appearances as a villain who faced Dr. Fate. A villain named Mr. Who, not Doctor Who, but Mr. Who, made his first appearance in the pages of More Fun number 73 and had several appearances thereafter. So Dr. Fate, in the Golden Age of comic books, as a solo adventurer and as a member of the JSA, had some very wonderful appearances in the Golden Age of comic books. He fought crime as a master of the occult, as did the Spectre, and was a very unique and very interesting character, except that he was not popular enough to survive the waning interest in superheroes during the middle 1940s, and of course, he was canceled as a character for DC in the summer of 1944. So, what happened to Dr. Fate after the summer of 1944? As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, he has appeared in the modern age of comics and in the Silver Age of comics. So, where and when did he make his comeback? Well, Dr. Fate, as did many members of the JSA, made his comeback in the pages of Justice League of America, and in particular, issue number 21. That was the August 1963 issue. And that was one of the very well-known crossover issues between Earth 1 and Earth 2 in the pages of the Justice League of America, where the JSA made its initial appearances, and we learned more and more about the other Earth, the Golden Age Earth, if you will, in the pages of Justice League of America, after that Earth having made its first appearance in the pages of Flash number 123 in the story The Flash of Two Worlds, in which the Golden Age Flash and the Silver Age Flash appeared together, and we first learned that there was another Earth in which the Golden Age superheroes resided. Now, after his revival in the Silver Age of comics, Dr. Fate has remained a very popular character and has always been considered one of the more powerful of the magical characters in the DC Universe, and his stories have been enjoyed by many comics readers since that time. Now, where do we find reprints of Dr. Fate's Golden Age stories? Well, of course, if you want to read his adventures along with the Justice Society of America, as I have mentioned on several occasions, all of the JSA stories that appeared in All-Star Comics have now been reprinted by DC Comics in a series of archive editions that have appeared over the last several years. And you can go out and buy each and every archive volume and read all of the adventures of the JSA from the Golden Age of comics. So, if you're interested in reading the adventures of Dr. Fate in the JSA that appeared starting in issue number 3 of All-Star Comics and moving through issue number 21 of All-Star Comics, you will find those adventures reprinted in those particular archive editions. Now, as far as I know, very few of the Golden Age More Fun Dr. Fate stories have been reprinted. I believe the story from More Fun number 56 has been reprinted in a book called The Immortal Dr. Fate, number 1. The story from More Fun number 57 has been reprinted in Superman number 252. The story from More Fun 65 was reprinted in a series that DC put out in the 70s called Wanted, the World's Most Dangerous Supervillains. And More Fun 65 story was reprinted in that issue number 3. The Dr. Fate story from More Fun 66 has apparently been reprinted in Detective Comics number 439. The More Fun 67 story in Justice League of America number 95 and in DC Special Blue Ribbon Digest number 9. The More Fun 68 story in Detective number 442. And last but not least, the More Fun story from issue number 73 was reprinted in Wanted, the World's Most Dangerous Supervillains, number 8. And as far as I know, none of the other More Fun appearances of Dr. Fate have been reprinted. But don't despair. I learned from listening to the Collected Comics Library podcast from Chris that apparently this year, and I believe towards the end of the year, and Chris may be able to enlighten us further by posting on our blog page or sending an email, but apparently DC is going to reprint the entirety of all of the Dr. Fate stories from the first appearance in More Fun number 55 through the last appearance in More Fun number 98 in one volume that should come out later this year. That one volume will be a little more expensive than the standard DC Archive editions because with all of those stories being reprinted, it will be an oversized volume, and apparently DC is going to ask $75 retail for that particular volume, and of course you'll be able to get it much cheaper at some of the online sources, I'm sure. So if you're interested in reading in continuity all of the Dr. Fate stories with this volume that apparently they're going to publish this year, and with the archives for the JSA stories from All-Star Comics, you should be able to sit down and read each and every Golden Age Dr. Fate story from beginning to end. So that'll be a great thing for you to do over a long and rainy and cold weekend. Sit down with the Dr. Fate volume and with the JSA volume and just read them all in order. And I know you'll enjoy the Dr. Fate stories immensely. Well, that's going to do it for the 35th installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books. I want to thank each and every one of you for supporting the Golden Age of Comic Books. Even though I have not lived up to my promise of doing a weekly show, I want to apologize for that. I know in the last episode I indicated I'd get us back on track with a weekly show, and I simply haven't been able to do that with the press of my job and other traveling I've been doing. I simply have not had the time to devote to the podcast, but I appreciate each and every one of you hanging in there with me, and I really appreciate all the emails I've gotten wondering what's happened to me and hoping I'm still alive and well. And believe me, I'm still reading comics and coming up with an idea or two for future episodes of the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast. I may not be as precise as I'd like to be doing a weekly show, but I'm going to keep doing the podcast and we'll get them out here just as quickly as we can. So thanks for hanging in there with us and supporting the Golden Age of Comic Books. And again, as always, I appreciate your support in placing a vote for us at Podcast Alley. We're getting towards the end of the month of February, and we have gotten quite a few votes, and those have been great. And if you haven't voted for us for the month of February over at Podcast Alley, please do that. Go to PodcastAlley.com, do a search for the Golden Age of Comic Books, and click on the link to vote, and they'll send you an email. Simply respond to the email by clicking on the link in the email, and the vote will be cast. And again, I'm very, very grateful for those of you that have done that. As always, you can send us an email at goldenagecomics@gmail.com. I appreciate all the emails I get. Some of you have corrected some of the mistakes that I've made, and I think that's great. That's what this show is all about, to impart the knowledge about the Golden Age as best we can. And I'm not perfect, and I make mistakes, and thank each and every one of you for correcting those mistakes that I have made. Please drop in and visit us at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. You can post there on our blog page any comments you have about a particular podcast or just generally about the Golden Age of Comic Books. So thanks again for joining us for the 35th installment. I hope everyone has a great week. And as we get towards the end of the month of February, I hope you're staying warm and the winter isn't too bad where you are. And just know that spring is on the way. So, have a great week, and I look forward to talking to each and every one of you about Golden Age comic books next week.